Boker Tov, we're continuing Parashat Tetzaveh, and today is the fast of Esther, Ta'anit Esther. At Be'ezer Hashem tonight, excitingly, is the holiday of Purim. By the way, somebody asked me, will you be teaching anything on Purim? Will you be teaching anything on the holidays that are coming up? And I actually will not, and I do it purposefully, because we're trying to systematically learn the Torah. Right? We're trying to. One of the problems I see in the way people know the Torah is that they know something, but then they have a gap in their knowledge of three parashiyot, and they know a little bit. But the Torah, it builds from one parashah to the next. There's a buildup.
Momentum.
And not only momentum, but there is information in each parashah that contributes to your holistic understanding of the entire thing.
Correct.
So I'm very intent on not breaking that thing, no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter to me if we're right before Pesach.
Well, I'm with you.
We want to finish the Torah. Whenever we finish the Torah, then we can focus on other things. Right. Same thing with the Navi. I'm not going to, you know, we could have stopped the Yoshua and done Ta'anit Esther. I mean, and done Megillat Esther. But there, we want to learn Yoshua systematically so that we know from the beginning to the end of the book
what happened.
Exactly what happened. Exactly. All right. Now, which garment are we on? What did we do?
We are now the settings.
Ah, okay. Sheni. So, Pasuk 13. We're on Aliyat Sheni. V'asida mishpesot zahav. You shall make two settings of gold. For the jewelers, they know exactly what the settings are. Ushtei sharsherot zahav taor migbalot ha'aseh otam ma'aseh avot. V'natata sharsherot ha'avotot ala mishpesot. So sharsherot are like chains. You're using this room?
Oh, Rabbi.
Now, hope that works. There were chains that they made. These chains were they were out of gold, and these chains would connect from the shoulder straps of the ephod, and they would be holding the next item, which we are about to talk about, which is the choshen. Okay, so you have these chains that are going to hold the choshen. Pasuk Tet Vav. V'asita choshen mishpat maseh choshev kemaseh ephod ta'asenu. You shall make the breastplate of judgment, the work of a skilled craftsman. Kemaseh ephod ta'asenu. It should be the same material as the ephod. Zahav tachede baragama mitalat shani v'shesh mutzar. It should be all of those different types of wool. Ta'ase oto. You should make it. Ravua yihye kaful. Zeret orko v'zeret rochbo. It should be four corners, right? Meaning it should be a square. Zeret orko v'zeret rochbo. It should be a full square. That would be a hand's length in each direction. Okay, so it should be an exact square. Umiletavo miluat eben. And on that choshen, you should put the fillings of stone. Arba'a turim aven. Four rows. Turim is actually a column. No? Is it rows or column? Four rows, it says. Four rows of stones. Tur odem pitao bareket atura echad. The first one is the stones. I'm not going to translate what these stones are, but it's odem, pitda, and bareket. Tura sheni, nofech, sapir, v'yahalom. These are all names of stones.
Yes.
Tura shelishi, v'atura shelishi, leshem shevo v'achlama. V'atura revi'i, tarshish, v'shoham v'yashefeh. And they will be on settings of gold, will be in their settings. Okay? And the names shall be on the names of Bnei Israel, meaning they should carry the names of Bnei Israel. 12 names based on the names of Israel.
Each stone is going to carry one.
Right now, who's missing? Who is missing? They probably put Yosef instead of Ephraim and Manasseh. No?
I'm not sure. Maybe they put Ephraim and Manasseh together, since they're one tribe.
But then it would be 13.
Correct.
Okay, so they put the 12 tribes based on their names. Pituchei chotam ish al shemon. They would engrave it, each person by his name. Tihyena lishne asar shavet. Will be for the 12 tribes. Asita al choshen. Sharshot gavlut maase avod zahav tahor. And you'll put on the choshen, you put more chains that are gold, and you will have, actually it doesn't say, I don't think it means, I think it's referring to the same chains as before. And you'll put on the choshen the two chains that are gold, and then on the choshen you put two rings, you put the two rings, so that the chains could go through, and you'll put the two rings on the edge, the top edge of the choshen, so that it can be held by the chains. And the two chains that we had spoken of before now will go into those rings and they will carry the choshen. And the other edge of the chains will then go on the settings
in the shoulder,
for the shoulder stones, right? For the settings for the shoulder straps. And you put, and the choshen will be hanging off the shoulders of the ephod. El mul panav. What does it mean, el mul panav?
I think here it says just towards its front.
Here it says in the fourth part thereof. I don't even know what that means.
It's here in the fourth part of your.
Meaning in front of the Kohen's face? In front of the Kohen?
Yes.
Probably. It just means in the front.
Yes.
It means on his front.
On his heart and on his.
Right. Okay. I accept. I accept. That's probably the Peshat.
3/4 means up here.
Right. ועשית שתתה באות זהב ושמת אותם על שני קצות החושן. And you will put two rings of gold and you'll put them on the corners of the choshen. Now what corners of the choshen we're talking about? We're talking about the bottom corners of the choshen. ונתת אותם על שתי כתפות האפוד מלמטה. You'll put them on the edges of the ephod, on the bottom, ממול פניו לעומת מחברתו ממעל לחשב האפוד. And you'll put two more. So you were talking about two rings that you put.
Is that in the bottom?
Yeah, hold on. We did.
It says bottom of the.
No. I know what we're reading. I just skipped the pasuk. Okay. Perfect. So pasuk 26 talks about you put rings now on the bottom part of the choshen. Put rings in the bottom part of the choshen. 27 says that you have to put corresponding rings on
the
back strap of the ephod,
so that he pulls it.
Right, exactly. And
it's also folded.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. The fold is in order to explain the urim v'tumim.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Pasuk 27. Ve'asita shetet ha'be'ot zahav ve'natata otam al shtei ketvot ha'ephod milemata mimul panav le'umat machbarto mima'al ha'cheshev ha'ephod. You make two more rings. And they will be on the back of the Kohen, on the bottom, right above his belt, right above his belt on his back. Now, what are you going to do with those rings? So now we have rings on the bottom of the Choshen in the front, and you have rings on the back of the Kohen in the back. Birkisu et haChoshen mitabeotav el tabeotav biftil techelet, and you will tie the Choshen with its rings to the rings of the back of the Kohen with straps of techelet. Liyot al cheshev ha'efod, so that it will be, how do you translate? Liyot al cheshev ha'efod, so that it may be skillfully woven. Oh, so that will be on the skillfully woven ephod. Cheshev ha'efod means the skillfully designed ephod. Okay, so velo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod, and as a result of that, the choshen will not move from the ephod. So what's happening? You're putting the choshen. You have rings on the bottom of the choshen, and then you have rings on the back. You tie the bottom rings. So now the choshen is tied from the top.
Yes, and from the bottom.
And from the bottom.
So it's really
it's sitting tight.
Yes.
Right. It's sitting tight on the body of the man. I used to think as a kid that it would shake.
No,
right?
I don't think so.
And that's exactly what the pasuk says. It doesn't happen. Velo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod.
It's part of his body. It becomes part of his body.
It's part of it. It will not be separated from the ephod. Okay?
So it's like a breastplate almost.
It is.
And yeah, and the meaning of the
Superman.
Words cheshev ha'efod, and when it says the words cheshev ha'efod, it's cheshev is actually a modifier of ephod. It means the beautifully designed ephod. It's an odd translation, but that's what it must mean.
I think all these, you know, Superman, Batman, they all have this front thing. Is all from the Quran. They learned.
Could be. And so much of what sticks.
Yeah.
So much of what sticks in our culture comes from the Torah.
No doubt.
You know, like. You ever see Aladdin?
Can you imagine him watching? Can you imagine
so, the bad guy, what's his thing? He has a snake in his staff? Why does he have a snake in his staff? Why do we associate snake with evil? Why is Harry Potter, evil, why is a snake, yeah. Why is a snake, I said this in our bit of shit shooting. Why is in Harry Potter, why is Voldemort represented as a snake type?
Yeah.
Why is his creature that he carries with him, that last Horcrux, why is it a snake? So all of these things are because the Torah had such a... So there are two ways to look at it, actually. Philosophically, you could say that being that Hashem wrote the Torah and Hashem knows what the human heart is all about, we know what we have an innate fear of, and what we humans associate evil with a snake. So Borei Olam put that in the Torah, knowing that that's how he made us. The other option is that by doing this, by putting the snake in the Torah as the representation of the evil, then for all of time, because the Torah was so widely accepted, it ended up kind of going into the culture also.
I think I even mentioned it once I know we're kind of going off topic, but if they did a study, like an Eskimo who never seen a snake before in their life or whatever it is. They put a snake in front of them and all of a sudden they got scared because it's naturally built into our...
So if that's the case, how fascinating is it that Borei Olam picks the snake as the item in the story of the Garden of Eden, because it is it means that the author of that story, again, I always say this, but it means the author of that story knows more about us than we know about ourselves. That's what the consistent theme that we see in the Torah and in the Tanakh is that Borei Olam as author of the Torah, and then the later Nevi'im, authors of the Nevi'im, they knew more about the human condition and psychology than we know about ourselves.
Correct.
And they knew it 3,000 years ago, which is also blows my mind. I the more I learn the Tanakh, the more I'm inspired by it.
Imagine this Kohen Gadol, he's wearing all of this beautiful... He was walking... Wow, how much attention he would get.
Right.
Now, he would wear this every day, or he would wear this on Kippur with a separate dress?
No, I think this is every day.
Bells.
No, Kohen Gadol, this is every day. I think on Kippur...
He would have to change
into white clothing to show what he would do on Kippur is that he would wear the Kohen Gadol clothing for the items that were for Kippur, but he wants to distinguish between the Kippur and the non-Kippur. So for the non-Kippur, he wears normal Kohen, and for the Kippur, he wears Kohen Gadol, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Changed many times.
But it doesn't sound like, at least here, it doesn't specify that he's supposed to only wear this on Kippur. Then Aaron will carry the names of Israel on the Choshen, the judgment on his heart, as a remembrance before God always. And he'll put in the Choshen, he'll put the Urim and the Tumim, and they'll be on the heart of Aaron when he comes before God. And Aaron will carry the judgment of Israel on his heart before God always. All very vague stuff. This whole piece is vague. I'm not going to say I know what it all means. Urim v'tumim, we don't know what they are, frankly. There's actually a debate if Urim v'tumim is just another name for the Choshen, or if, according to Rashi, there were two slips of paper
that they would put in.
They would put in. One would say,
Holy is Hashem, I think, one of them.
There were two, right? Yeah. One would say, do you have it there?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say two things. It had the Shem HaMforash on it. It had the name of God on it. Now, how would they know? I thought there were two, because they... So all he's pointing out is that in the second Beit HaMikdash, it didn't have the name of God in it. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim in it. And what were the Urim V'Tumim used for? They were used whenever Bnei Yisrael wanted to ask for a national item, like a should we go into battle? So how do you get a Nivuah when there's no Navi telling you what to do? You go to Urim V'Tumim and you ask. And it's as if the Urim V'Tumim were like the holiest item.
And they would.
And that's the opinion of the Midrash.
They had to understand which way to read the word, because it could be different. You know, these letters, how...
That's a whole other thing. They said that once they asked, the letters would light up so that you could read the message through the respective letters of the names that lit up. All of this is again, most of this is midrash. We don't really know. And it's hard to tell. There are opinions which I think are valid, because if you look at the psukim in Tanakh, it's not very clear. There are opinions that say that Urim B'Tumim is just a reference to the stones. And it's not a reference to a separate document that was slipped in. Same. Until when I read this Rashi, like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer ago. Yeah, it was more longer ago. I was surprised. There's a piece of paper with the name of Hashem. I always thought from the learning the psukim just dry, you don't get that indication.
I think it's paper. It's probably a parchment.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we talk about the me'il. The me'il is the item on which the ephod sits. It's the main cloak, the one that had the ring, the bells on the bottom. So that's an exciting one. But tomorrow is Purim.
Yes.
So we won't. I don't know. I don't think we'll have class.
Because of the reading.
I'm reading at 8:15. Oh. I'm reading 8:15 a.m. Yeah,
you're right.
So I'm assuming that Minyan is going to start at 7:15, 7:30.
Yeah, 7.
So I don't know if anybody. It's going to be too busy. I don't think we have chance.
Right?
Yeah, Bezer Hashem.
You're reading also tonight?
Yes, Bezer Hashem.
Baruch.
Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. Amen.
Zag Baruch.